Ramble.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
Welcome.
Hey, girl, hey.
To the Tri-Potty with Eugene.
Yay, rainy.
Tri-Potty.
Tri-Potty.
Yeah, we're all going to pee on the floor and hang out with Eugene.
P-O-D-D-Y.
Yeah.
No, you meant P-O-T-T-Y.
Well, I say it was a double entendre.
Oh, great.
Stunning. World play Spagliato.
Wow. The Spagliato. That's a House of the Dragons thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm a Darcy.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's not in the show. It's
well, you
interview.
Don't watch. You've never even watched Game of Thrones.
Correct.
Oh.
I thought it was actually from the show.
No, it's just a viral moment.
It's from an HBO just Max like interview between Olivia Colman.
Is it interview?
No, Olivia. What's her name? Olivia Cook.
Yes.
When
you say the wrong name, like my brain refuses. It's in. I can't get back on the right track.
Just naming amazing British actresses, but her and Emma Darcy in an interview talking about their favorite drinks.
Mm. TikTok has really made things that never would have been heard by anybody, things that are heard by everyone. Like, no one would have seen this interview where someone talked about something, wherever it was posted, wherever it exists. But because some person did and then put it on the internet, it's like so much bigger. It's now like you were ordering that at places. You
How
actually
was
ordered
it?
That drink.
Well, I love it, but I love Campari.
Yeah.
So you have to like a Negroni before.
Right.
So it was,
they thought you were a lunatic when you ordered it.
Because I said it like Emma Darcy.
And they did not know the reference. They were
one
older.
One person did.
Yes.
One person came from the depths. It was like, with Prosecco on it. Get the reference.
Well, you taught me that it's Spagliato means just wrong.
Just kind of like messed up, screwed up.
Oh.
So it's typically, you know, a Negroni has gin in it with the Campari, but then instead of the gin, they switch it out with Prosecco. So it's a lighter Negroni.
But Negroni Spagliato just means, if I'm getting this right, you fucked up the Negroni.
Yeah, it's like twisted. It's all screwed
error.
Up. Yeah.
Error edition.
That's why I'm Zach Spagliato.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Spagliato. Spagliato just sounds like a good pasta dish.
Sounds delicious.
A little spagliato.
I guess spagliato a lot fettuccine. Of Italian probably sounds like a pasta dish to
Americans.
Yeah,
I mean, I love pasta. We love pasta. We just want it to be a pasta dish.
Pasta is better than pizza.
Whoa.
In my opinion. In my opinion.
It's just such a broader thing.
I just feel like if you offered me the best pizza in the world versus the best pasta in the world, I'd probably take the pasta.
What do you think best in the world.
What do you think the best pasta is? What noodle? What would it be? Would it be lasagna? Would it be penne?
Are you out of your fucking mind?
Lasagna is fucking good.
You think that's the best noodle?
I don't know if it's the best noodle, but
that's
it's
what you
that's
said.
That's your favorite dish.
That's my like. I think that's one of the best Italian dishes. But that's what I'm saying is that pasta, it's so more varied than pizza.
How fucking dare you?
Manicotti.
You're lucky I can't reach you right now.
Penne.
I'd slap that smirk right off your face.
Spaghetti. Bucatini. They're all different.
Then you get into gnocchi and you're like, what even is this?
Bucatini is a superior spaghetti for sure.
But it's interesting because every pasta is designed to pair well with a specific sauce.
Yeah.
Is that so?
Yeah, because grooves versus like the flatness or
versus
the
macaronis.
Width can carry a specific amount of sauce.
Capellinis.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so then the way that like sauce or meat or vegetables
whatever.
Cling to it.
Blend.
Yeah, it's like a science.
But wait, is there one perfect pairing of each sauce to pasta? Like, does each pasta have its
There's an
perfect
elite pairing. That's why when you go to an Italian restaurant, you see pappardelle, it's usually with like a pork.
Uh-huh.
It's a heavier.
Like a ragu.
Uh-huh.
You know, or if you
it's
see.
It's thrilling.
Yeah. Or like there's very specific things. I mean, there's a reason why when you get like cacio e pepe, it's the same type of noodle.
And
like
fettuccine is with the Alfredo, but linguine is typically with a lighter sauce. It can sometimes be a red sauce, but typically it's a seafood. Like an oil seafood or an oil or a like red sauce seafood.
It's making me so hungry.
I have this breakfast burrito that's been sitting on the table. I've had it for a few hours. Is it okay to eat?
Why is it not?
Oh my gosh. Have you not heard about the car burrito? A few hours is nothing. I don't know if I should tell the story or if we should get Will Whitware in to tell it.
Will has a car burrito?
I don't know if Will should be my barometer for healthy eating. Nothing against Will, but
did he keep a burrito in the car for a long time?
For like 3 days.
Oh, no.
And
no.
then he ate
was
it.
He, if he was in Minnesota and it was winter, sure.
No, he was in Los Angeles.
No. Then nope.
And he thinks it's fine.
It's not fine.
I know. And he was like, oh, well, like nothing bad happened. But he has like, he literally has such bad gastrointestinal issues that he talks about openly.
I gotta come out with it. I admit I probably would be a Will in that situation.
You'd eat it?
But you have an iron stomach.
I know. But I also like, I'm very like, go with the flow. People think that I'd be like, ew. No, I'd be like, if something drops on the floor like outside and it's a delicious piece of food, of course I will eat it.
It depends on
if
the
it's
floor.
In the sand, I'll eat it.
Like a lasagna.
I don't care.
Did you ever work in restaurants?
And I've worked in restaurants.
Did you eat? Did you take the plates away and
Absolutely.
Eat?
You, and that is not allowed in restaurants. But when you're a server, one of the biggest rules is you can't eat the food that's left over. Mm-hmm. But when you're working like hour. Two shifts in a day, and I worked at this dim sum place, so it was all hand up like dumplings you could just grab.
Oh, it's dim sum. Oh.
Someone eats like one dumpling and leaves six.
Yeah.
And I bring it back and it's 8 p.m. and I didn't have any food.
Yeah.
I'm shoving.
And they make you work like 12 hours.
Shoving those dumplings in my mouth, baby. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like a rabid little squirrel in the corner eating. But a lot of servers do that.
Did you get yelled at a lot when you were a server?
Not by
the customers, but by your managers.
No, not by my managers. Okay. I think it was, for me, The worst part about being a server was the customers. I would say it was namely customers, service, front-facing positions are, I always believe people should be required to have a year of that. Almost like semester abroad. You have to be in retail or in the food industry just to get like the brunt of just irate. Yeah. Like people get more irate about things like a bill as opposed, or just like something that they expect, like, this was supposed to have this versus this, then they do about politics.
Oh, yeah.
It's just
well,
so
I know
strange.
That if you have that experience, you will never in your life be rude to a server.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, why?
It's just like, come on.
You're beating that down on the wrong people.
And what I don't think people realize is the server often has been there for like 9 hours. Like, you just came into the restaurant, but they didn't. Like, they're exhausted, you know?
Also, the talent of being, whether you're a bartender, a server, or retail, like juggling 20 tables at once.
Yeah.
You're doing just quick math in your head.
Yeah.
And you are quite literally sprinting the entire day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long did you work as a server?
Like 5 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did you start in college?
I did 1 year in high school and then I did 4 years out of, no, I guess 6 years actually total. I did it to support myself while I was freelancing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you freelanced before you went to BuzzFeed?
Yeah.
What did
freelance
you make?
For 5 years, music videos, commercials, things that were like cool stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool but mainly stuff. Kind of nose to the grindstone. Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just very much like whatever job
Sounds
I could take.
Painful.
Yeah. Did you have like an existential crisis?
God, this is like a,
I know, I'm just sort of like
inside the actor's studio.
Well,
with
I feel Rainey. Like, I think I've asked them these same questions, but so this is why I wanted to, when you graduated college, in between graduating college and getting like a full-time job, how did you sort of like, did you freak out every day? Cause I did.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was in a constant flux of anxiety and still am to a certain degree, but I think that that's pretty natural, especially when you're in your 20s.
I want to say on the record, Rainey, you're way more successful at your age than we were at your age.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I feel like, wait, when did you guys get into BuzzFeed?
I didn't know us when I was your age.
26 or 27.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm a year younger than you guys.
But Keith and I also graduated college in the recession. Which was not fun. Oof.
It wasn't.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I was poor.
Like job markets are always scary. Yeah. But
I was
that
making
was
like $17,000 a year.
Yeah. Where did you live?
Chicago. In where, an apartment like, with a bunch of boys.
With a bunch of boys. Okay.
Bunch of boys.
How dirty was it?
Dirty. It was a bunch of boys. Yeah. I mean, definitely, like, my room was not well maintained, but it was okay. Mm-hmm. We had, like, a couple of us were cleaner boys than
did you have mice,
boys.
Maggots, bed bugs, rats?
No maggots. Oh, my God. Maggots?
I had maggots once.
From what?
I lived in the boys' frisbee house in college, and we had mice, maggots, and
bed
bugs.
You need frisbee house?
Yeah.
You need dead stuff for that.
Girl, I don't know. They were in the trash.
We didn't have mice. Okay, maggots could get in the trash, I guess, but that's tough. You have to let your trash be there for a long time and have, like, a piece of meat that flies could lay eggs in and then hatch.
Wait,
into
where
maggots.
Were the maggots? Were they in the trash can? Because that happens. But
yeah, they were in the trash can. And
in
was
the house,
like,
That happens.
Guys, it's Thanksgiving. People are cooking meals. This is the absolute last thing they want to hear about.
You got to watch out for bed bugs.
Yeah, well, we also had bed bugs, but for some reason, I didn't get them. They're only in my apartment.
That's a classic co-living experience is the bed bug scare.
Yeah.
It's
like burn your stuff.
Yeah.
You have to throw away all your belongings and then consider that maybe you don't want to live anymore either because you'll never be clean again. And then you somehow move on. But it takes years.
Did you have fights about cleaning then? Or was everybody just sort of like, no,
everybody did their bullshit.
Yeah.
In college, I had roommates that didn't clean after themselves. Mm-hmm. And we had to have some living room talks.
Door wheel?
Yeah. Not even that. It was just like, guys, you have to do something. You can't not ever grocery shop and not wash the dishes and not cook and not vacuum. Like, you have to do something.
You were being like their mother.
Yeah. And basically, it was no good. It didn't work.
Yeah. That.
But after college, no. I luckily had guys who were a little bit more put together and we cleaned. And it wasn't as clean as Becky would want it.
I do think she told a story on You Can Sit With Us that was, I asked Keith where the cleaning supplies were, and he said, in the store.
Whoa.
In the store. We didn't clean a lot. And that was in L.A. And that was because I went from being, poor at home to then having a job. And then, I didn't have a car, so my commute to BuzzFeed was, on public transit. So I was, gone at 7 in the morning and home at, 7:30 p.m. And I was, I was dead at the end of the day. I just wasn't able to do anything else. Yeah. But I also wasn't, I was no longer eating meals at the home either.
Uh-huh.
I was eating all the food at BuzzFeed.
Do they have a cafeteria or was it like?
No, I just ate their snacks. I just lived off snacks.
Snack line.
We had lunch and then sometimes I'd buy lunch, but typically I had breakfast made of some sort of snacks. I made peanut butter toast every day.
Oh. With bananas.
Yeah, with bananas and a can of apple juice.
we have toast here. I would love some friggin' peanut butter toast snack. That sounds good as hell.
We gotta get toast.
But Rainey, to your point, I would say anyone out there who experiences employment anxiety, it's totally normal.
Yeah.
And people who see even our history, especially landing a gig at what was fledgling BuzzFeed. Uh-huh. I mean, I was 28 and that was seen as a failure to most people who knew me.
Oh yeah.
I was admitting defeat.
Oh my God.
Because freelance was so hard. I mean, I would just be editing for pennies, shooting for pennies.
We were interns. Imagine being a 27 or 28 year old intern in the industry you went to school for.
Uh-huh.
At a film company, at a fledgling internet startup, video startup.
Yeah. It was a big... Now, for me, I had never had any job in the arts, so I was like, I'm totally fine. I need to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
But for Eugene, who is way overqualified for that title.
Well, it was interesting. It was
for you, it was a big deal. Eugene failed.
For me, it was I'm going to make it.
And I'm not going to broadcast how many student loans I was able to take out as a film student at USC.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot. And I think that the millennial complex, which is very much the first, I think, recognition that higher education might just not be worth it in some ways.
Yeah.
There's way more ways that one can establish themselves.
Way,
yeah, we were raised to really
it's
think
the
like,
only way.
The
yeah.
best thing you can make of yourself is go to college.
Yeah.
And if you can afford to take on enough student loans, you'll be basically guaranteed job security. And when the recession hit, right when I graduated, that was not the case. And I went to arguably what was considered the top film school in the world.
Right.
And I walked out of there and I was like, well, none of us are getting hired. So that's why I became a waiter again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but that's that, then back to the first point, that's kind of the beauty of service jobs is that you make lifelong friends with those people.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Those are people you kind of, end up hating people in offices just because office settings are so corporate and, there's so many people that you just
Well, there's a common enemy for waitstaff. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And it's table 3.
Yeah.
And then the person walks in, you're just like, you get a girl and they're like, all right, you owe me one. And then, it's just I certainly have so many friends that I definitely
What are they? Are they scattered in different industries?
Yeah, and a lot of them were very much, because this is LA, focused on either performance, acting or behind the camera, and they're all doing really well now, which is great.
We love a success story.
Just work hard and hopefully things turn out, but sometimes things are out of our control, which sucks.
It takes way longer. I feel like in college, it's instant, just so fast paced. And then once you graduate, it's like takes just years for anything to happen.
Well, we're talking about the past, but we're also Eugene's here. And so we're thinking about the future. We're thinking about things that are on our minds. And I wanted to take this moment to maybe, you know, we've talked about how next year of Try Guys, there's going to be some changes.
Oh, I'm really curious about this.
We're going to be working on some new shows. And so I thought maybe for this chance, we could, this opportunity of us together on the pod, we could do some freeform bad pitch only.
Oh.
Because I've got a show that I think we should be making.
Okay. So Rainey, hit us with the bad pitch theme song.
Bad ideas is not a slogan we use anymore.
Eugene left.
It took me a second to realize why that was so funny.
It.
And it's very funny.
Funny.
Oh my God.
Thank you. Ooh, thank you.
That is so funny. Oh my God.
We might have to cut it though.
No, you are keeping that in. That is wow.
So you have a bad pitch for us that we should make?
Funny.
This is a good pitch. We Rainey, don't do
you're
bad
so
ideas.
Funny, Rainey.
I said bad pitch, not idea.
I had to throw away so many shirts.
Goodwill got some items. Last couple months.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that we were trying to start with like a very like serious reflection on the millennial industry work complex, and now we just totally went off the rails.
Yep.
Well, that was great. Let's keep this energy going. Tell us your bad.
Okay.
This is a good idea.
This is a good idea.
Oh, good idea.
Now we've been looking for a long time for an interview format, right? Mm-hmm. Keith loves hosting.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he's a great host.
I love it.
Better than us.
Well.
Well, better than a lot of people who get hired for hosts.
That's true.
There's some bad hosts. Okay.
So
interview format, right? How do we get more celebos on our channel?
I just have a quick question.
Yes.
Who first said celebos?
Me.
It makes my nipples invert themselves out of cringe.
That's on me.
Where did this word come from?
Celebo.
It's like people who say pep when they talk about pepper.
Uh-huh.
Oh, a little black
Can
pep.
You, hey, pass the pep.
As opposed to the one in your step?
Yeah, as opposed to the one in my step. I don't mind the one in my step.
Did you ever find
the one on my bucatini?
Really cringy when your parents would use shortened words to like, at like the dinner table specifically, like, can I have a glass of white Zin, please? Oh, mom, just say Zinfandel.
You know what my mom loves? My mom's a big fan of Target.
Oh, yeah.
Fancifying Target. And I'm like, come on, man.
I mean this not as like a read, just as an observation. I think this is distinctly like
white
American culture.
Oh,
stuff,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
Like cute abbreviations of things that then get kind of passed down and shared amongst
right.
groups.
And BT Dubs, I'm going to be that for my children.
BT Dubs.
Like, I already am. I abbreviate the most infuriating things.
Why say the whole word when you can say half of it?
I'm trying to think of the thing that you abbreviate the most. Now I'm just imagining like mini Habersburg ring around going like, can I meet the celebo?
That's so funny though.
Daddy.
But well, your kid's not going to say celebo. Your kid's going to be like, dad.
So I think it's because celeb to me is cringy. Instead of saying
more
celebrity.
More cringy than celebo?
And so it's that's why I made a more cringy version. Because
oh,
like
you're
if we're
gonna
be cringy, let's be cringy. Let's say celebo. That sounds so dumb.
You know what? I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You say appreciate, huh?
Appreciate.
Yeah.
I can't find it in my text, but I abbreviated something the other day that as I was typing, I'm like, this is insufferable.
But it's more verbal. Like you don't write it out.
I did, which is why it was so bad.
Well, you wrote it out?
Yeah, it was pretty insuff.
You know what's interesting is like the movement of language and the way that we do things casually. Like I believe Gen Zers overall don't use things like LOL, right? It's more just like they'll write out ha or something like that. But it's interesting how things. It's interesting how like you know that even just internet slang is generational in a strange way.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
One thing in defense of LOL is it also has the internet slang identity of meaning multiple things. So we put LOL on the ends of things.
Oh yeah.
To like
to make them less serious.
Make them less serious. And something about saying ha ha at the end of something, which I think is also very Gen Z, yeah. It's almost even more aware that it's self-serious. That uh-huh. is not self-serious. So it's like uh-huh. almost like drier. It's almost more of a
right.
attack.
If somebody says ha ha to me, I'm like gonna send a yeah. screenshot to my friend and be like, do you think this person's mad?
Yeah. No, almost, yeah. Which I kinda like.
It's almost a tone it's almost a tone indicator, right?
Yeah, it's yeah. a tone indicator.
You're adding lol at the end of your mm-hmm. sentence to show like
but we're good.
I'm not threatening.
Yeah.
I'm not upset. There's nothing, there's no more to read into this, lol.
Yeah.
Lol.
Yeah.
Lol.
I do like and I used to not, but I do think it's funny to say lol.
Out loud.
Uh-huh. It's just funny. It's and I think it's leaning into the cringe of it again. It's like, yeah.
lol.
Lol cats.
Lol.
Have you seen that thing that's like, it's crazy that LMAO stood around, but ROFL is dead.
And Rafflecopter.
What's Rafflecopter?
That's how people used to write Raffle.
Copter?
Uh-huh. They just put the word copter at the end, like a helicopter.
Like a little, okay, Rafflecopter. That's kind of cute.
That never hit me.
You never heard, saw Rafflecopter? Eugene.
No.
No Rafflecopter?
Absolutely not. I don't know what this is.
The Rafflesaurus, sure.
That's not real. Rafflecopter.
I don't know Rafflecopter.
Okay, I gotta look up Rafflecopter to make sure I wasn't living in a different dimension.
Maybe it was the mid-2010s with...
Yeah, Rafflecopter. I only had to write Raffle with a letter C, and I got lots of Rafflecopter. Rafflecopter, meaning. Rafflecopter blends the word helicopter and the internet acronym Raffle.
That part we got.
And it was... coined in 2003 by moderators on a World of Warcraft 3 forum in reference to a vehicle in that online game known as the gyrocopter. So it was came from video gaming.
A lot of stuff came from video gaming, or just people like speaking online
cool
in those forums.
Yeah. Look, I'm just telling you what I saw, and I saw Rafflecopter.
I wonder if from mid-2010s, which we were obviously part of this, mm-hmm. but this even like the BuzzFeed badges were... Like,
oh yeah,
internet Win. Speak. Yeah, and I think
lol, OMG,
fail. The thing about how funny a Rafflecopter is.
So just to be clear, you would like text something like we don't say bad ideas anymore, and you'd reply Rafflecopter.
I mean, we didn't text in 2003.
So you said this out loud? Oh.
No, I said this on forums, and I actually never said it. I just knew of it. Or AOL Instant Messaging.
What forum were you on?
Oh, I was on a bunch of forums as a kid. I don't even remember specifically.
So this was like...
It's 2003.
Early
So
millennial.
Yes, this is like 2001 to 2005. I'm in high school.
I didn't know that you were on a forum. What forum?
I was
this
on like...
exciting.
Like juggling forums.
The AOL chat room for
not.
Juggling?
How else was I going to learn how to juggle?
What did you talk about on a juggling forum?
People would explain and like post GIFs of like how to do trick, how to do like things I didn't know
this
how to
is
do.
Adorable.
I was
you fucking darling. Nerd.
I was a juggler.
Oh my god, you're so cute.
I didn't have it. Like, you gotta remember, you guys grew up in places with things, or at least you could get to things within an hour. It took me an hour to get to a shopping mall. It took me 45 minutes to get to a bowling alley.
Wow.
So that's where I was. So that means most days I'm not going to a shopping mall or a bowling alley or an arcade or a movie theater. They're all too far away. So what am I going to do? I can play my instruments. That's why I got good at French horn.
Yeah.
And I can juggle. I can do things that only require me.
Yeah.
And
you
juggling.
Got damn good at it.
And I got good at those things. And so, and I'll, you know what other forums are? Equally lame.
What?
Equally lame.
I think it's adorable, not lame. I was on a lame one too.
LARPing forums where I made foam weapons and I fought
yes!
my friends. And
no
I met
shit.
People in other parts of Tennessee and we met up and we fought each other with our foam weapons.
That oh,
freaking
my
rules.
Gosh. Yeah.
How come we never did our
That's
we
so...
never done a Try Guys LARPing video? We
it's crazy.
About
no, it's
it.
On the. It's always been on the docket.
It's a good one. We were going to do it in conjunction with a D&D one. We were going to do like Nerdcore yeah. as a series.
But you kind of want to go to the true LARPing.
We need to go on an overnight.
Competitions or whatever.
They're in the yeah. woods in the summer yeah. and you and the, all they do is battles all day fucking long. And
just to out myself, blast. I was on a Lost forum and I shared theories about the show Lost and we shared some bad theories.
And then also like, were you on the internet when there were chat rooms?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was in chat rooms too and those are just arbitrary chat rooms.
Yeah.
I don't even know who. I was on a chess forum. So I was trying to get good at chess for a while. And then I was like AOL Instant Messenger. So right, I messaged my friends and emailed my friends, and that was basically it.
Okay, so to bring us back to bad pitches.
ASL.
So, you know, LARPing is on our, we must do.
The children listening will have no idea what that means.
ASL?
Do you know ASL?
American Sign Language?
No.
That's what it should mean.
Wait, no. What's ASL?
/S/L.
Actually, right?
Usually question mark.
It's just slash.
Just slash. But at the time, it was /.
Mm-hmm. It used to be called /? Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Wait, what is it?
Age, sex, location.
How old are you? Oh. What's your gender? Where are you?
Because the chat rooms were a wild west of like real pervy, strange people.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the first time people can like anonymously like just talk to each other about stuff.
Yeah.
And let's be honest here. We were children always pretending to be a little bit older than we were.
Yes.
So you would be like, say, 11, but you'd be like, I'm 16 and I'm in Florida.
Or like 13, male, Florida.
Yeah. What's that one that's like anonymous video chat and you can just go on and then like you're paired
with? There's a few of those. There's
chat roulette.
Chat roulette.
Omegle.
Yeah.
Omegle.
Yeah.
Oh, that's way,
oh, you
way
weren't
past
doing
our
Omegle.
Childhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
It didn't
yeah.
exist until like 3 years ago or
no.
something.
No.
Oh, no. Like,
chat roulette was, I think, in our college or just after college time.
But AIM, like AOL Instant Messenger,
yeah.
the best was just being able to directly, for the first time, like chat with your friends, like directly. That was cool.
And you
but
can
leave
it in a way.
You
message.
Can basically go to the, it's like a chat room list.
Yeah.
A huge list of all these different interests,
mm-hmm.
which for some just ended up being like, I can finally enter a gay chat room and talk to other gay people.
Uh-huh.
But I would say 95% of people at the time were just catfishing because it was the thing you did as a, either like a little kid or as much more.
I'm sure we all talked
so
to
older person.
At
but
some
like,
point.
It was
no verification too.
Yeah.
So when you first like we're talking AOL even before AIM. Like when you to get on the internet, you had to go into AOL. There were chat rooms, and it was like you could just pick whatever one you wanted. And so you would be like, okay, well I'm 9, but I'm gonna go into this chat room with 30-year-olds, and mm-hmm. I'm gonna pretend I'm 30 today.
We were also of the age that. You know, if you watch something like Pen 15 on Hulu, you'll see a great episode about it. But it's just kind of like most of us would do it with friends, or we'll just like sit around and be like, we're just going to talk to strangers today.
And it was totally
harmless.
Yeah.
Or you were in Tennessee like me and you were
harmless.
Alone. Yeah. So you were actually alone talking to people on the internet because there's no one else to talk to.
How big was your town? Like, did you have neighbors who were your
2,000 people, and we were the county seat. We were the big town.
Oh my gosh.
I'm telling you, I grew up in like
2,000 people. So how many people your age?
Oh, the county seat.
I don't know. How many people were my grade?
Yeah.
So probably like 100.
100 people.
Maybe less. Maybe 86.
And you had a girlfriend in high school?
Uh-huh.
That you knew since you were born?
No. Sometimes people
moved
into town.
She was the
also,
new girl?
So, and this, I don't know if this term is what the term was called. There were multiple elementary schools.
Uh-huh.
But they were called feeder schools.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because there were only 2 high schools.
Okay.
So when you got into high school, you met the people you never met before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they lived 3 miles from you. You just didn't meet them.
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh, there's other people. And then, yeah, sometimes I dated people that I knew from kindergarten at some point. We didn't like date.
Yeah.
But I like knew them.
Yeah.
And like I kissed some of them. Mm-hmm.
That's whoa. Tea. Mm-hmm.
And it was like, yeah, I, you know, at, and that because that was the dating pool.
Would you recommend it?
Kissing someone?
Growing up in a tiny town,
uh-huh.
I think there are advantages. It was very, very safe.
You knew everybody.
We didn't lock our door at our house ever.
Wow.
I was a latchkey kid, but I didn't need a key.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just came home. I'd be home for like an hour and a half by myself. Before my parents got home from their work. And I just did homework and chilled, watched Nickelodeon.
What did your parents do?
My mom was a teacher. Uh-huh. My dad was a mining engineer.
Oh.
So he designed underground mines and made them more structurally sound, or like figured out if they were expanding a mine into a certain area of the ground, if it was safe, how far they could go.
That's high stakes job.
It was.
Yeah.
So it's the only occupation with its own Safety and Health Administration. It has OSHA and MSHA, the Mining Safety and Health Administration, because it's so fucking dangerous.
Yeah. MSHA. Yeah.
And if you do things wrong, people die. Also, you do things super wrong, People above the mind die. Oh. Like you can make sinkhole. You know, like you're under people sometimes in your mind. Your mind might be under the entire town. Do something wrong.
No kidding.
The town collapses.
So it was a mining. Was it a mining?
That's very rare, obviously. Town, right? But yeah, it was a mining town.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the main occupations of the town was the mine.
Wow.
Because we were lived in the mountains.
What were you mining?
Zinc.
Oh, for what? Zinc. What does zinc do?
Zinc is in some construction materials. Zinc is also like a thing we eat in some small amounts, but when you're mining it, I don't know if that's how it's used, but it's in like, oh, it's a lot of stuff. But I moved away eventually because the cost of mining zinc at some point was higher than the cost of selling zinc. So a lot of zinc mines closed, including the zinc mine that we had. So we moved away, but now that zinc mine is open again because it has changed. And zinc is more valuable because a lot of zinc mines closed. So then there was a scarcity. So then some of them reopened.
Okay, we'll get back to the bad ideas. But first, how old were you when you moved and the mines closed down? And where'd you move to?
17, Illinois.
When the mines closed down.
Yeah, I moved when I was 17.
Were you upset to move?
No, I was kind of excited. I mean, part of me, I had a girlfriend, but my girlfriend...
Gene is here. This is a rare occurrence.
I'll learn about zinc.
I had a girlfriend who played French horn, but she went to another school. Mm-hmm. So we were already kind of long distance, but then that was definitely the beginning of the end of that relationship, of course.
Yeah.
Can't maintain it.
Yeah, you had a true small town upbringing.
True small town.
I had a kind of in-between...
You were smallish.
No, I was
sure.
A small town to a suburban of a major booming city.
That's right. Oh.
So I went from growing up in a development where every house next to you was being built. And we had, I grew up across a farm with horses, which got knocked down.
Wait, I thought I only knew Pflugerville.
Pflugerville's where I grew up, yeah.
Right, but you said, it was suburban here? I thought you just said that you moved.
No, well, I mean, I actually was born in a small town near Waco, which a lot of people don't know. And then I moved to Pflugerville as a child.
Uh-huh. Wait, you also grew up with horses?
Horses around me.
So you and Matt sort of are riders together?
No, he was more on the like families that would, invest in having their kids sit on the horses. I was the
Eugene
kid who
grew up near horses.
I like would look at the horses across the street.
Matt
and go,
was equestrian.
Yeah, I was like, cool, look at that horse.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was interesting because we had
the horses.
Yeah. He was an equestrian person. Eugene was a horse guy.
Yeah. It was interesting from the, I guess, like, because coming from immigrant parents, I was the signal of a town growing. Like, our family was representative of it becoming less like Keatstown.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because we had people moving in to start working at places in Austin.
Yeah.
So now Pflugerville is considered like pretty much like a little city connected to Austin. Mm-hmm. But when I was a child in the 80s, it was like, there was so few people there. Certainly no Asians, but now there's tons, huge Asian American community.
It's so crazy because Denver, when I was growing up, was pretty small. Like even when I was growing up, and that was like 10 years ago, and now it's just like giant. Every time I come home, it's like the skyline is bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah, but it's so weird. Did you have like, I mean, I know my dad grew up in Denver with like dirt roads. Like that's how fast.
Different than the Denver that I know.
I know, yeah.
We called them... I don't know if this is appropriate, but people call them the drunk driving roads.
Oh.
They're like the two-lane roads that people just would go 100 miles per hour down in the middle of the night after drinking or something. Mm-hmm. And they would be like, well, that's where this person died.
Right.
Yeah, because it's just like in the middle of nowhere.
There's some areas with like not really a speed limit in Texas or that it's a high speed limit and it's a two-lane road.
Just a two-lane road,
but it's like a 75-mile-an-hour speed limit. So people are going like 85 or 90 on it. And
they've adjusted that now, which is good.
It's fine. Yeah. I've driven on it before and it was terrifying. Yeah. That was like northern Texas though that I did when that was, because there's fucking nothing up there.
Yeah. But I still want to hear your interview show.
Go back to your interview show.
Well, that's what we've been building up to this whole time. This is kind of a taste of the interviews that you might get on my part. So I'm hoping that we can come up with some new formats for our channel. And this is one I've been thinking about. Mm-hmm. It's called Hot Ones. And it's an interview show where you eat increasingly hot food.
Really? I think this has
not in spice, in temperature.
It's just plagiarism.
But you're still calling it Hot Ones?
No, so it burns your mouth. Basically lightly and to severely burning your mouth.
So it's like Natalie Portman burns the roof of her mouth while telling us about Thor.
Boiling kimchi stew. That's a hot one.
I would argue that maybe Korean cuisine has the hottest temperature.
You do.
Because we are our potware and everything is designed to maintain
it's just iron
heat. Yeah. So my experience eating food growing up was you have to burn your mouth or it's not good.
Hell yeah. Well, there's something to it. This was inspired by, we had a, what dish was it, Keith, that we ate that like the heat was part of the experience. It was so, oh, it was these mushrooms that we had.
Oh yeah, we had these really hot, like, these were not psychedelic mushrooms, by the way. They were just oyster mushrooms. And there were actually a variety of mushrooms.
What cuisine was it?
Japanese-ish.
Yeah.
Ish. Yeah, but it was like just really fucking delicious mushrooms. And they were hot as balls.
Sizzling. Like in a iron pot. So like it just had, the temperature was wild.
And you know mushrooms, they're full of water. So they're just boiling hot. If you've ever had a deep fried mushroom, you'd be like, oh my God, how am I supposed to eat this? It's so fucking hot.
And so it made me think of what is the threshold I can go to? And then, mm-hmm. you know, you have the first interview round and you go, oh yeah, that's pretty warm food. The second round, you go, ha, 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 and you're answering a question while you do that. I think this got legs.
I know the payoff of kind of circumventing what your great idea was really relied on what the actual idea was. And it's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea.
It's really bad. You're not only plagiarizing the name of a very famous interview show.
Wait, I am?
Hot Ones.
What's that? That's the show I just came up with.
He's playing silly.
You're being silly, Zach.
I think this is a good... I'm going to make a TikTok and it's going to crush.
Oh, it could be called Burning Questions.
That's better.
That's like Ellen's thing.
Yeah, that is Ellen's thing.
I like Hot Ones more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hot Ones is a great title and a great show.
What if I call it Hot?
What if it's H-A-U-T-E?
Hot Ones.
There
hot
is,
ones.
I think, copyright funny. Applies to sound-alikes as well.
Fuck.
Oh, yeah. I've got an idea. Brittany Broski on Eat the Menu.
I'm down.
Why not make her our inaugural guest on Hot Ones?
Okay. She can do both. It's okay. A yes and situation.
Well, if you're telling me that's a bad idea, top it.
Wouldn't it be a worse idea?
Well, should we, since...
Oh, you know what? Honestly, it was an idea that I thought someone like Cut Video or the people who do like the lineup style videos would be. And it would be called, Can These 30-Year-Olds Tell What Age These Kids Are?
Oh, that's funny.
Because I...
Just looking at a kid.
Yeah, I like, sometimes we'll see, Becky and I were driving somewhere, and we're like, look at those high schoolers. I'm like, are they high schoolers? How old do you think they are? 14? It could be 18. Maybe they're 12. I think for that to work,
you need a kid to come in one at a time. Because if I see a whole bunch of kids, then I'll be able to be like, okay, well, no, I thought that this kid was 14, but this is clearly a 14-year-old, so this kid must be whatever.
Yeah.
So you do one at a time, I think I would do terribly.
We basically saw these three 15-year-olds. And we started being like, okay, well, the three skateboarding kids, they probably aren't 16 or else they'd be in a car. Just because it was like a Saturday, they'd be cruising around. They wouldn't be skateboarding, but maybe they would. I don't know. And then one of them had a pair of weed socks, like had a big marijuana leaf on their socks. I'm like, okay, well, that screams high school. That's probably more 17 or 18, because maybe they're about to go to college or they're in college if they're able to wear weed on their clothing, because their parents probably wouldn't be into that.
But we're also in Southern California.
We're also in Southern California.
Maybe they didn't know it was weed.
It was like, I feel like it was a weed flower plant wearing sunglasses. It was like the weediest
smoking
of weeds.
Smoking the doobie.
Yeah. And then
that also sounds like a high school thing, though.
It does.
Yeah.
But it was, we just could not gauge their age. And I was like, I bet this is not just us. Oh, gauge your age.
Gauge your age.
Keith has a knack.
For names. I got the names ready to go. But that's, I think there could be a whole series of like just celebrities trying to guess the ages of teenagers because we have no, like, also like style is better now because of like the internet. Like,
oh, that really, yeah.
Kids dress way better than we did, or at least I did.
Literally, the makeup game, they look like they're better makeup than me.
Yeah.
No, dude, there's some things that we've filmed in our tries history where they put us in just a little bit of makeup and I'm like, who is that hottie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makeup makes you look better. Also, I want to talk to my guy friends about products. I like, because that's sort of like a fun topic. What do you use?
I'll work on it and I'll get back to you.
Honestly,
so
I would
love
all right spend a week at least.
I'm just so fucking
it's gonna
lazy.
Take longer.
Yeah,
I know that's the issue for me too.
I'm so fucking lazy. And I don't even like washing my face at night.
See, I love not washing my face at night. If I wore makeup, I'd
you don't wash your face at night? Ever?
Don't tell Becky.
I just prefer not to.
I almost never
do. Does it make it
dry? I just don't want. I just want to go to fucking bed.
When I'm done with the day, I want to be in bed as quick as possible.
The day is over.
Yeah.
Floss, brush, goodbye.
Floss, brush, goodbye.
Gosh, it was rainy all last week here in LA, but it's sunny out today. But I could use a little more precipitation.
Drip, drop,
maybe it's time for some rainy day thoughts.
Here she comes to rain her stories. Is there no official song? Is this the actual song?
Yeah. Oh. Here she comes to rain her stories onto us. So put away your umbrellas. It's time for girls and fellas to learn what rainy has to say. It's rainy day thoughts. It's rainy day thoughts. It's rainy day thoughts. Drip, drop, drip, drop.
Wow. Really beautiful.
Yeah.
That put you that wrote on it on Spotify.
You wrote it. I just sang it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's like you also performed it and just put in our voices, which is crazy.
That was
that you did
really,
that.
I'm about to take that, export it as MP3, and that's my new song.
Great.
Like Miles.
Cool.
Wow. That was harmonized. Okay. I've got a series of questions. So the question is,
wait, should we get some increasingly hot food? And we can kind of make this like our test.
Yeah.
I tell you what, this burrito is cold as heck. So if you want to start there.
You could put it in a car for 3 days.
I could put it outside.
I think that's a bad idea.
Okay, do you think these couples would stay together after the movie ended?
I love this.
Okay.
Because we always assume that at the end of the movie, they stay together forever. One of my favorite movies of all time, The Apartment. Yeah. Someone asked the director, Billy Wilder, what happened to the characters afterwards. Yeah. He's like, they probably break up in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. And people were devastated by that answer. I love it.
Okay, the Titanic, if Jack didn't die.
Oh, wow, that hurts.
Well, they would not stay together.
No, I don't think they
that
would.
That was a vacation relationship. We've all had them.
I don't know, but there was also class involved, and she also basically cut off an engagement and her entire family. Like, she basically said, fuck you, Mom. She was like, get in the boat, Rose! Get in the boat!
Yeah.
Goodbye, Mother.
I have a child!
Yeah, that's true.
I have a child.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, I do a really good Billy Zane as Cal impression.
You do.
Yeah.
It's like my go-to.
Well, let's think about the little details we have.
Put a coat on her.
Let's fucking film theory this shit, right?
Put the jewel in the coat. Put the coat on her.
That's the one you most frequently
It's great at parties because someone starts laughing like nonstop because the one Titanic stan.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. But we see a little bit of Rose's life thereafter, right? So she gets to New York.
That's actually, I didn't think about that. Yep.
She pretends to be a Dawson. She starts over, but we see how she's doing as an old lady. She did pretty well for herself.
I think, she marries this another man. She has children because you see with the pan over the photographs. I know a lot about Titanic.
I just watched it for the first
time. It's a cinematic masterpiece.
It's amazing.
It's so fucking
crazy movie.
Do you know how they made it?
Oh, yeah. They use the sound stages with the full tanks.
Yeah. And James Cameron's the greatest fucking director ever. That's how.
Yeah. Because I was like, I was just like, first of all, I don't really think the first half has that much to do with the second half.
That's the beauty of the
film.
They're
building up the relationships.
I guess the class, it's just getting class relationships. Yeah.
It's getting you to invest.
See, I was sort of like, these guys, they're not in love.
Hilarious.
They're not.
No, I think based on the central premise of Rose moving away from her lifestyle and also like cutting ties with everyone she knows.
Yeah.
And then Jack moving in the opposite direction, I can see that maybe that won't sustain itself.
Yeah.
But because it's centered around like a literal great trauma,
right?
I do feel like that they would give it a go for a while.
That's a good
point.
Because
there's too much. They would both be like, Jack was moving back to, I forgot what, Midwestern
Wisconsin,
state.
I think.
And he basically had nothing. And she would also leave with nothing after the tragedy.
Right.
And she's on the run, essentially.
Right.
So I think Jack would be great for helping her out with that.
Is Rose running to Jack? Are running away from the patriarchal structure of her life.
That's what I think. I read it. I would read it more as like he represented something that she wanted. But I do think you're right about the trauma. The trauma would probably trauma bond them.
And just remember, when she passes away, it's not the husband she spent probably 50 plus years with in her life that meets her at the clock.
It's she the goes best dick she ever had.
To Jack. So I'm just going to say, yeah, I think they would have made it work. Dang. Also, considering the time period.
I think you convinced me.
I think sacrificing that much for someone, especially like you just bucked so many societal norms. I feel like that would sustain you for a good 10 to 15 years. And once, if they had kids together, I think they would stay together too.
Jack and Rose, make it forever.
Wow.
Make it forever.
You heard it here second.
Okay. Next up. Pride and Prejudice, Mr. Darcy, Elizabeth Bennet.
Ooh.
I think they would stay together.
I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think they do stay together because that's probably what all the readers believe. And if you have 100% of the readers believing it, it's got to be true.
Although I do think Enemies to Lovers is sketchy.
It is, but Pride and Prejudice is, I mean, again, I think I'm taking time period into it too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it was modern day Pride and Prejudice,
yeah,
I don't think they would stay together. Because that's a classic, like,
yeah,
the, what is it? Enemies to Lovers. Uh-huh. It's hard to work out in real life. But because of the time period and what Elizabeth represents and what Mr. Darcy was representing as they sort of like,
yeah,
again, were going against the expectations of their... Mm-hmm. Of their roles. Wow, this is very clearly like talk between me and Ray about like Pride and Prejudice and Titanic. I think that just also both of them out of stubbornness, they would stay together.
Yeah.
And they're honestly the most exciting intellectual
people in the town.
People in the town. Yeah. So having that like, God, imagine being in that time period in that place and finding like your intellectual match.
That's keep you going.
I have chills. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's seriously. Just so hot.
You can read. that must have been how it was sometimes back then. It's like, you can read and write? Oh, shit.
Hubba, hubba.
But it's, no, baby. It's what they read. It's like what Elizabeth and Mr. Darcy would be into, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Zach, what's your vote?
I'm not going against y'all. I'm on board.
I agree.
I don't really remember Pride and Prejudice that well. It's been a while.
Have they done like a Pride and Prejudice like
reboot
2022, but like...
The way that they keep remaking Emma and...
it's basically just, it's reskinned, like there's a different names on top of it, but it is exactly Pride and Prejudice.
I mean,
like, exactly.
It's a Jane Austen, especially Pride and Prejudice, is reworked like a billion
times,
I'm pretty sure there's probably been some form of reboot, remake, rehash over the past 5 years that
someone
we're just not
listening
remembering.
At home is screaming at at their AirPods.
Vince Vaughn was in it!
Oh,
it was Vince Vaughn!
Fire Island.
Oh,
the Hulu film. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. You're right.
A retelling. Of Pride and Prejudice from the gay Asian male perspective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's just I mean, I'm not like an Austin stan, but Pride and Prejudice like really gets me. And the Keira Knightley, Matthew McFadden version, you cannot with the sweeping score. And Keira just standing
for the record,
going,
that was Rainey
who is eating it up.
She's just standing there in the rain with a jaw out. Keira. And Kira. Matthew in that. I can't believe Matthew McFadden's on Succession.
He is?
Playing like almost like such a different role from Mr. Darcy.
Okay, now I'm thinking about Atonement.
Oh, Atonement. Oh, Atonement. Ugh. Yeah.
I will say Succession, I thought was a comedy, and I started watching it, and I did not think it was funny.
Succession?
It's a very dark comedy.
It is funny, but it's not always. A lot of time it's really intense.
I'm ready for a Keira Knightley renaissance.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, where's she been at?
It's past time. Yeah, what's she doing?
Where has she been?
She's been doing roles here and there. But,
Keira.
Yeah.
She's just chilling. My name is Domino.
My favorite thing is like the TikToks are just like, oh, snow. It's just like people like doing the Keira voice. Yeah. This is so specific.
Okay, next one. Ryan Reynolds, Sandra Bullock in The Proposal.
I have no opinion on this.
You guys haven't watched it?
I don't think I've seen The Proposal. But are we talking?
How could you be so incredulous with that question?
It's a big movie.
I wouldn't say that's the top tier.
I'm really not a romantic comedy boy.
Oh my gosh, this is exciting because we're going to get engagement. People are going to write in and be like, The Proposal is the biggest movie in the world.
No, what year did The Proposal come out? Okay, give us the basic plot line of Proposal.
2009.
Yeah, the basic plot is essentially Sandra Bullock is like a nightmare boss. Ryan Reynolds is her assistant, obviously in publishing, and he wants to like get a promotion. She is Canadian, and so she has to go to, she's getting deported.
She's getting deported.
But she needs a green card, so they go to Alaska to visit his family, and they learn everything about each other. And then they like quote unquote fall in love. But I think
I'm going to say they're not staying together.
Yeah.
I'm going to say they're not staying together.
And she's his boss?
Maybe I've seen this movie. Yeah.
And I'm going to say that's a bad
no.
That's a bad idea. I'm going to say that. I'm going to say that we're going to move on.
But you know, I mean, you could cite like what are the biggest rom-coms of the era? Like how to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh my gosh, I love that one. I love that one.
Are you a rom-com?
Oh my gosh.
Of course she is.
Queen? Okay.
You're a rom-com boy.
I'm just a cinephile, so I just like anything that's just
But you
enjoyable.
Like these rom-coms that are just like
You like also
fun
trashy rom-coms.
And,
oh yeah. Like, I mean, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, I do think is, I'm just sort of like, she can do it. Just because she's hot doesn't mean she can lose a guy in 10 days.
But I think that they didn't stay together.
No.
I think the prompt of them, but it's like a challenge, right? They were challenged to basically right. do the opposite of one another.
Yeah.
And if your whole relationship premise is based on like the challenge of you're a womanizer and you're trying to stick with someone versus uh-huh. you can prove that you can like make a guy hate you.
Yeah.
The groundwork isn't there. The foundation isn't there. It's just two beautiful people who like
right.
had a cute
who are sort
moment.
Of witty.
Yeah. I just looked up a list of the best rom-coms of all time and this list is wild. It has Eternal Sunshine as the number three. It's not a rom-com. That's
interesting.
Weird.
Oh, but do they stay together? Now let's get into your lane.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole point of it is how they're kind of doomed and destined to... No, they don't stay together, but then they're going to keep doing it again because love is heartbreak.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's like, it's the pain that you will gladly go back to again and again.
Absolutely.
That's ultimately the ending of
it's
that
It's kind
movie.
Of like in itself a critique of the idea of, it's like subverting the idea of what you expect from.
And I just rewatched Eternal Sunshine, and I feel like the takeaway of that is that like even if most relationships are doomed to hurt you mm-hmm. and rip your heart out and leave you with a pain deeper, because if you know most relationships don't work out,
yeah,
and you are going to be left with a pain unlike any wound you have ever felt in your life, and it is totally worth it, and it is a pain that you will gladly sign up for again and again and again because the highs associated with it are better than anything else on earth. And that's pretty fucking beautiful.
Woo. It's a top tier movie. Top 10 for me.
It's a good one.
What's your favorite rom-com, Rainey?
Oh, what's my favorite? You know what I actually just, I don't know if this is my favorite, but I just saw Plus One. Have you seen that movie? Anybody?
Who's that with?
Maya Erskine and John.
I love
Jack
Maya
Quaid.
Erskine.
Yeah. And Meg Ryan's son.
Do you know Maya Erskine?
That was a Netflix movie.
Her, I don't know if their fiance or boyfriend
yeah.
is the lead from
Sky High.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that couple.
I saw them together at an event and I was like, oh,
it made
I love
so
this.
You saw them together?
Yeah, I was just like, well, for me being a nerd, I was just like, oh, he's from other great things too, but
he's
Sky High.
He's dated some very cool people. We just did this on Guilty Pleasures. I can't remember off the top of my head, but.
It was like, who was it? They were like really, he ran the like.
Oh,
the,
Plus One has
he dated
the nepotism baby.
Meg Ryan's son.
Yes, Jack Quaid.
I also,
from
he, yeah.
The Boys,
he's
yes.
really hot.
It's just on your list of people. In my absence from the tripod, I just keep getting updates. I'm just like, I'm always like, how's Rainey doing? And they're like, well, he's like, well, she has a list of people she wants to maybe kiss.
I sort of have my crush list that I just read to you guys.
She has an extensive crush list.
Yeah. Wait.
I was just showing, okay, so Maya Erskine's husband, Michael Angarano from Sky High.
Yeah.
He's dated, why am I blanking on her
Kristen
name?
Kristen Stewart
and Juno Temple. And is married to Maya Erskine. That's
probably really awesome.
I couldn't be more lost in these conversations.
I'm so sorry.
I just like.
What's your favorite rom-com, Keith?
I don't have one. I don't know it. When people are saying celebrities' names, nothing pops into my head. No
Bella
image.
Bella from Twilight.
Okay.
What's her name? The from Ted Lasso. Keely.
Oh my gosh.
The famous woman from Ted Lasso.
Blonde. I kind of can see her.
But not...
They're together?
They have dated.
Cool.
Did you watch Ted Lasso?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Was... But the problem with Ted Lasso, the only problem, isn't a problem, is that every single episode resolves, so I have no desire to watch the next one.
But then they get a little darker in the later season.
Do they? Because the first season, I loved it, but I was like, I don't need to watch another episode. Everything works out.
Mm.
And most shows keep you hooked because everything works out and then a new problem is presented. But instead of that, everything just works out and he's so unbelievably nice. Everybody's like, I guess everything's just going to be okay. And I'm like, that's an adorable show and I get its purpose and it was great during the pandemic, but it just didn't make me want to watch it.
Mm.
There was a stretch during season two. Oh, we don't need to talk about Ted Lasso. We could,
but I loved everyone on it. I thought the show was great. I just didn't watch it more.
What was the last rom-com, if they stay together or not?
Oh, let's see.
I want one that Keith can comment on.
Oh, I liked Knocked Up.
Okay.
Okay.
Do they...
I like romantic comedies to be like Seth Rogen style of humor, I think.
Raunchy.
More than... Yeah. Just like really, really funny and not just so formulaic. Guy comes into town or and guy, girl don't get along. Then they get along. Then they date. Then someone does something stupid and then they come back to each other.
See, like, I could watch that plot over and over and over and over and over again.
I can watch that, but yeah. It has to be really fucking funny and reinvent something about it. Whereas like Knocked Up, I thought reinvented something about it. They were forced to be together.
And it just had a tonal difference.
Had a tonal difference.
Which is probably like, what you...
Yeah.
Do you think they would stay together?
Yeah. Seems like they really had a real relationship by the end of that film. And they... But I think there, it was a great situation of like these people are unlikely to be together,
yeah.
But they must now be together.
So
at least
children change that formula
exactly.
Pretty drastically. And you don't have many rom-coms with kids involved.
Yeah, that's why yeah. I think yeah. I liked it.
Isn't today
Thanksgiving?
Today is Thanksgiving.
Did you watch the parade? Did you catch your own turkey? Did you skin your potatoes? Pop them in a little bath of boiling water and mash them up with cream and butter? Have you made your cranberries into gelatin? Have you carved said turkey?
I haven't done a single one of these things.
Ever?
Or maybe you're celebrating an un-Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Non-Thanksgiving, more yeah, focus on
dinner party.
Yeah.
Or like learn more about indigenous cultures and try to like decolonize the meal. I think that's always a cool thing to really try to focus on because it's very hard with family traditions.
Because I don't ever actually go home to my family, I don't think I do anything Thanksgiving-y other than I cook the standard menu. But I always try to put something else that's not on the standard menu in just because turkey's not the most delicious food.
It's really
check
not.
Out some like native recipes. That's what people often suggest.
Idea. Yeah,
like look up indigenous chefs, and that there's something really interesting. And because you automatically like food is kind of like the first window for a lot of people into culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it seems like something that hopefully people start looking into really more during the holiday.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, even if it's one dish, maybe it'll start a conversation with maybe some more traditional family members.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think of asking what you're thankful for? Is that?
I think it's okay.
Think we can.
I think.
That too trite?
I think being thankful is good.
Yeah.
I think though it should maybe not be just belonging to late November. I think people should like reflect on their thing. In fact, every time I have a dinner party and there's a lot of people together, I'm like, oh, I'm just so happy we're all together. Like it doesn't have to be a whole speech, but you should be like acknowledge that this is nice.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to do this.
What are you thankful for, Rainey?
I am thankful for Steve Inskeep. You know Steve Inskeep?
No. I don't even know where the space in between those words are. Is it Steve Inskeep or
really
Steven's?
Sure what you're saying.
Steve Space Inskeep.
Wow,
Steven
it was that Skeep. One. I thought it was Steven's Keep.
Keep. I thought there was Steven
and I thought
he
it was like,
keep.
I don't know, a resale store. Like Steven's
Come
Keep.
Come on down to Steven's Keep. Keep.
We got sweaters, we got pants, we got buckets of ants.
No. He's an NPR host.
Oh.
And he's like the most okay boomer guy ever. But for some reason, I just really fuck with him. Like, I'm just like, you're just like funny. And I like hearing
you're
the news from you.
Thankful for him?
So I'm grateful for Steven Skeep on Up First at NPR.
You're thankful.
Oh, is that a podcaster?
Yeah, well, he's like a radio host. I think he was the one who tried to interview Trump that one time that they got Trump on. And Trump like lasted like 3 minutes, but he kept asking like questions that he didn't like. So he left.
Let's all, we should all be thankful to another podcaster.
Yeah.
Who keeps us sane.
Exactly.
I'll go. Mine recently, I mean, it's no secret. I love a good crime podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I also love anything just about like historical tragedies. I've been really into shipwrecks recently.
Oh.
I think I need the context, and I know why a lot of like, even like my sister listens. She likes to contextualize the world as like, this is true evil. So maybe I can like be a little more even keeled in my life. Yeah. I don't have to worry about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to, I mean, obviously listen to like the typical like crime junkies, et cetera, but there's one called Red Handed from the UK with Hannah and Saruti, apologies if I can't, if I'm mispronouncing, but it's fantastic. It's kind of like somewhere between Crime Junkie and like a My Favorite Murder, but they're also British, which I enjoy. Anyway.
Did you watch?
I'm thankful for them. I've been listening a lot to them.
It's so funny to me that the type, and I know it's very common, that people who listen to crime podcast as like a soothing activity.
I know.
You love it.
It's very strange.
Great for long drives.
Yeah.
Sure.
Can you explain it? Why is it soothing?
I feel like, so when I hear about true evil, it makes me realize, one, some things I can be a little less mad about, and some things I can be more mad about.
Yeah.
But knowing that there's like someone who did this despicable thing and that they exist, it kind of, I don't know, that's it a regulates. Weird form of regulation for me emotionally.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know if, and I think especially if you're, essentially since a lot of victims have historically been women and a lot of listeners of crime podcasts are women, I know that, at least from my friends, it's a similar thing, especially probably even deeper for them.
Yeah.
Which is like this idea of like, it's not like, ooh, salacious, lovely. Like some people maybe, but some people are just like, there's something weirdly psychologically.
Right.
Yeah. Regulatory about it, which is weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a similar reaction to it.
Yeah. Did you watch Only Murders in the Building?
Yes.
Did you love it?
I enjoyed it. I just like I like Selena and I like.
I haven't watched season two.
I like the old sort of guard comedy of Steve Martin.
I couldn't believe, because I sort of like didn't totally, I was a little too, no, I was like a little too young for Steve Martin. So I saw him on that show. I was like, this guy is amazing.
Oh my God. And
where'd this guy come from?
Yeah. I was like, oh my guy's gosh, riot. He's
he should
really
have been
funny.
Way before this.
Yeah.
Have you seen
Martin Short? I thought was good too.
And him when he was young.
He's hilarious.
Oh, is he hot?
He's kind of cute.
Yeah.
He was a cutie.
Ow.
Yeah.
Salt and pepper.
I know who I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for MatPat. Not only is a person who makes great content that I actually watch a lot of, Game Theory and Film Theory, are just very well-constructed episodic stuff on the internet, but he made a really great video about our whole situation, and I thought he did a great job of like helping other people understand things. Thought it was really good.
It was
really, really well-done video.
He also was a homie and gave us a heads up before it came out, which is not something that many other people have done.
Yeah, he's just, and I just think very highly of their content and their production model. And I think he's a great ambassador for like YouTube as an entertainment industry. Like he is always like writing about, like he is in think pieces, he writes think pieces.
He's
like
smart.
Takes it very seriously and he legitimizes our space often, as often as other people delegitimize it.
Zach, what about you?
Well, hey, if you're listening to this, I'm thankful for you because...
Oh, me too!
Oh, yeah, me too.
And me too.
Because I'm glad that we get to keep doing this. Mm-hmm. We're talking about podcasts I'm thankful for. My one that I love right now is called Script Apart. It's hosted by this guy, Al Horner. And what he does is he'll get screenwriters to talk about a movie and they look at the first draft.
That's really interesting.
So they look at like the first draft they wrote and then talk about what changes happened between when they wrote the first draft and the final movie that you saw. And oftentimes, if you don't know this, movies are wildly different. I mean, there will be characters, full plot lines, sets that don't make it to the final film. And so it's really fascinating to see that process. And it also just reminds you as a creative person that you have to fail, right? You have to write something. It's wrong. Now you see it and you do it again and you hone it over time. You get it, you know, each time you chip away and get a little closer. So even things that you think of as the most brilliant movies that you've ever seen, such as The Proposal.
The Spy Who Dumped Me.
The Spy Who Dumped Me doesn't always start that way. Yeah, it's a super cool pod. Yeah. Well, hot damn, I hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving. Thanks for choosing to spend some of it with us. We love you.
Is that
We appreciate you.
We appreciate.
We appreciate. No. We hope that you find yourself a celebo.
God.
And thanks for
lols.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for chilling. Thanks for being
and
here.
Hopefully I'll be able to drop in every now and then. Like a ghost. Like a poltergeist.
Like a pulch.
Yes. You know?
Pulty G.
Yeah. No, Keith, you just immediately abbreviated it.
Pulty G. Pulty G sounds pretty cool though.
Keith, hit us with the official song.
Pulti G, a pulti pulti G, a pulti G, a pulti 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 G, flying through your house, knocking over your glasses. Pulti G, a pulti pulti G, 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 pushing you down and showing your asses. Pulti G, a pulti pulti G, tripod.
Oh, and thank you to Kingsbury Crunch for sponsoring this episode.
Have a good ass week!